Hey there, folks. I'm sitting here with New York City-based James Mayer. He's a photographer and an author, and he knows a little bit about marketing. We're going to dive into all of that in this episode. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Fun to be here.
Yeah, man. It's going to be good. I have a list of things to pick your brain about. I hope you're ready for this.
I'll try to be. Yeah.
Hey, in the intro there, I mentioned that you are you're New York City based. How's it? How are things in New York City?
If crazy as always. I love it here. A lot of energy. Exhausting. It's in the summer right now, so it's hot, but it means the city kind of clears out, so it's a lot more relaxing at the same time.
Yeah. I love it. I don't get to New York City that often, but when I go, I am, what's the best way to put it? Unapologetically a tourist. I'm happy to be.
Yeah,
because there's there's several different kinds of people that are New York. There's people that live there, the cool hip people like you that are like, oh yeah, let's go over there. It's all second nature. Then there are the tourists like me that are looking up at all the buildings, right? And then there are people that are just at work and don't care about anything. They just need to get from point A to point B. So it's
definitely
all this mix of all that stuff. I love it. I love New York. And there's it's very intimidating, but it's intimidating from the standpoint of from a photography standpoint of what to shoot. You got to go in there. If you're going to go to New York, as a photographer, you got to have an idea of what you're going to shoot there, or else you're going to just end up with, a nasty salad of shots, right?
Yeah. People come and take like 5,000 photographs.
Right.
And just in the first, yeah.
Yeah, which is a good segue, because you did a book a while back called the New York Photographer's Travel Guide, right? Yep. So you solved that issue for people that had the overwhelm upon entering Manhattan, right?
Definitely. Yeah, that was a goal, just because, I get all these emails about what to do and where to go. And, I try to tell them, give them a whole guidelines about what their interests and stuff. So I decided to just do this book where I'm kind of, it's not a very long book. It's meant to be an airplane read, about 2 hours, maybe 2 hour read. It's got a Google map with all the locations of the book on it, so you can load it in your phone. And it tells a lot about the history as well. So it's kind of just a way of if you have no idea what you're doing, just in 2 hours, you can kind of have an idea of where you want to go.
Yeah. And I would say, even if you know what you're doing, you've been in New York several times.
Sure.
It's New York. You're never going to figure it all out, right?
So. Definitely. I've seen a third of the city myself.
Jeez. How long have you been there?
My whole life. Yeah. And I'm out every day. So,
You've been there your entire life, and you've seen a third of it. See?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That statement right there turns a lot of people off, because they're like, oh, man, why should I even attempt it? It's like, trying to get from here to Andromeda or something. You're never going to make it. It's crazy.
No, it's true. It can be overwhelming, but it's still, it's an amazing place for photography. So.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like it's purpose-built. It's like it's purpose-built for black and white photography, in a lot of ways. Unless you're in Times Square, then that's, it's something else. But just like a lot of the places, you could take a photo and it could be from any point in time, because New York is, a lot of the buildings are just timeless. So
yeah, a lot of the old, there's a lot of old architecture. And then right next to that is all the new glass craziness.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like one, you're looking in the past and the future.
Yeah. It is the quintessential city on planet Earth right now. So that's cool, man. All right, let's talk a little bit about your background. So like I said in the intro, you're a photographer and an author. Well, we've established you wrote that photographer's travel guide. What else? What puts you in the author camp? What do you like to write? What's your comfort zone?
So I write a few things. So I mean, I've written a bunch of ebooks. I've written The Essentials of Street Photography and Street Photography Conversations, which were kind of beginner intermediate introductions to street photography. Mm-hmm. I write for a lot of different websites and blogs, both on photography and New York. And I've done kind of documentary projects around the city, and worked with kind of different, I worked with the Daily News for a while as well. So yeah, I write for a variety of places. Yeah.
So you're busy. You sound insanely busy. I can tell by looking at that room behind you. You're
all the
that's
books.
The room
yeah.
of a busy person, right? There.
Definitely. Yeah. No, you see, that's it's a little clean. I won't turn the camera this way.
Well, that's good. They say neatness, and my place, it's not that neat, but they say clutter is a sign of brilliance. right?
I hope so.
That, yes, yeah. So yeah. You're, but it's not clutter. It looks totally fine back there.
Yeah, no, no, it's yeah, it's the it's clean for a small New York space.
Yeah.
You know, it's after a while, you know, you need a storage space here. There's no basement or anything.
Yeah. There's a second. I want to dive into the marketing stuff in a second, but
sure.
You mentioned small New York space, and that reminded me of a hotel I stayed in New York once. There's, I think it's called, well, it's on the Hudson, but I think it was called the Hudson or something, but it's, it was my first time in New York City. And I was blown away at how small that hotel room was. Like, I was like it, literally, it was a bed.
Barely open the door.
You could barely open it. Like, they had engineered things and a little cutout on the door so he could miss the bed, you know?
It's amazing, yeah. There are a lot of bars popping up, especially where I live in the East Village, which are made to like feel like living rooms because people don't have big living room spaces, so they'll just go hang out at the bar, do work, grab a beer, coffee during the day. It's actually a really cool idea.
That is actually
similar
really
to like
cool.
A you know a Starbucks thing, but actually more like a you know actual living room feel with couches all over the place.
There's a place like that here in Sacramento that I heard about. I haven't been to it yet, but it's a bar. But it, instead of making it, you know, your traditional bar and all that stuff, it's actually in a house, like an old Victorian that is downtown that's in a zone for commercial area. And it's decorated like a home.
So, that's amazing. Yeah.
So you just go in and, you know, sit on the couch and someone comes to you and serves you and all that. That's
awesome.
I like it. I like different. Yeah. Different is good. Different is good. Cool. Well, let's talk about photography and marketing, the business of marketing. And I want to set the stage for this interview with the big question is, can photographers, or let me rephrase that. Where is the money?
Yeah.
Where is the money? You know, is it those who can't do teach and you make money by telling other people how to shoot? Or is it, you know, one day, you know, the holy grail of, hey, I'm going to be a New York or L.A. or Phoenix, whatever, you know, high class fashion photographer, Annie Leibovitz style. I'm going to walk in. Someone's going to hand me my camera. I'm going to take a couple shots and walk out and get a check for 30 grand. Yeah. Like, where's the money?
That's a great question because it's, you know, the whole, you know, when I first started, I was assisting for commercial photographers and things like that. And there's still like the realm of commercial photographer that are making the, you know, 15 grand jobs out there, but it's not as stable as it once was. It's kind of, there's not as many of the gatekeepers anymore that can, you can be a good photographer and then you can hook up with them and they'll help you make all the money.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as photographers these days, I think there's actually still a lot of money out there, but it's, we need to actually go out there and get it and figure out how to do it because, you know, things like, you know, portraiture is a great job for photographers, but it's, you have to wear many hats to get yourself out there in front of your community. You have to, you know, do local marketing. You have to, you know, learn SEO. You have to be out there. You know, more people these days need portraits than they ever have, LinkedIn, different things like that. So it's simultaneously it's there, but it's kind of a little bit like the Wild West where people are just like, you know, how do I figure out how to reach all these people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no longer like you can really maybe work for a news organization and make a good living where you can have a family and things like that.
Yeah. And, things ebb and flow, right? I mean, if you know, back in the day, it was that world that you described, you know, you could walk in, make 15 grand, whatever.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as the opportunities to do that kind of diminish, so does other opportunities rise, you know, like with social media. I mean, there's Instagram photographers now. That wasn't a career path a couple years ago. Right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's and people are making good, like really, definitely, really good money doing that. But, you know, it requires a certain skill set. It requires a certain discipline, a certain lifestyle. Even
sure.
to do
yeah.
that kind of thing. So my, you know, like the where is the money question comes in. I mean, it's a loaded question, obviously. The money's everywhere. You just have to know how to build your machine to harvest it, right?
For sure. So, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it could be in weddings. It could be in like Instagram photography, portraiture, models, all this stuff. It depends on how much you want and what you're willing to do. My question is, how do you Like, how do you figure that out? Like, because there's the photography is a unique beast in that it's you know, one part hobby, one part, you know, if you want to make a business out of it, one part revenue, and then another part subjectivity, you know? So, you know, it's not like it's a commodity where, hey, I'm going to start shooting and, you know, everything that the guy next to me is shooting, the people that like his stuff are going to like my stuff. You know, it's not like that. So it makes it a moving target. What do you say to that?
And it's an amazing question. I mean, I think you have to first of all, you have to definitely think of it like any other business. You know, you have to think of it as if you're a plumbing business, or, you know, you really have to start off and create a whole business plan. You know, think about the type of photography that you think you're good at, and you know, the type of people that you want to get in front of, whether your events or weddings or portraits, and, you know, create a model of the ideal people, and then figure out where they're going to go to look for you. You know, how are they looking for photographers? And then that's, you know, having that kind of model there is going to help you figure out how to actually market yourself. And you can take that further and create a whole marketing plan about how much time to spend each day. You know, where are you going to allocate your time? Are you going to focus more on your local community? Are you going to focus more on the internet? And the more it's the problem that a lot of photographers have is just being so specific and organized and creating the plan and following it. Yeah. A lot of people just want to throw everything, stick it on a wall, and hope something hits. And a lot of those things that you're going to do aren't going to work out. Some of them are going to take longer than others. And you have to figure out quickly what is working better than others and then push that harder.
Yeah. It's like sailing, right? It's almost like sailing. Like, you could say, yeah, I want to sail from like California to Hawaii. Yeah, it's a straight line, you know. Yeah, you could probably do it. Yeah, straight line without the physics of the curvature of the earth. But yeah, it's a straight line to get there. But there's weather, there are waves, there's, you know, what other forces that are going to interact on the boat between there and there. So between here and there. So ultimately, you're going to end up tacking, right? And you have to adjust course as you try to make your way to the end goal. But if you know what the end goal is, you can keep heading towards that. As things blow you off course, you can go back to it. Same with business, right? Yeah. If you know what that end goal is, and you know, put a finer point on it. If you know that, you know, in order for me to survive, I need to make $5,000 a month. You know, I need $5,000 every single month, and I'll have some put away. I'll be able to pay my bills, and kids are taken care of, all that stuff. That's my golden number. That's at the end. And to make me happy, along with that number, I would like, you know, you could like do the whole vision board thing. I would like a car that looks like this. I want to live in an area that looks like that. I want to have this. This is what my life looks like when I can say I'm a success. And then you just sail towards it. And then that, it seems fundamental, but I tend to do this. But when you do that, you tend to make decisions that lead you towards that. So, you know, if someone says, hey, you want to go speak at this conference? And you think of like that, you know, your end goal. Does this get me towards my end goal? No, not at all. Yeah, I'm going to decline that.
For sure. Saying no is very powerful. It's definitely an important thing. And I mean, you know, along that path, you're occasionally going to get these headwinds that start pushing you in the right direction. And you're going to just have to kind of hit that hard. But for specifics, for things for photographers like specifically to actually work on to get more jobs, I like to tell people to focus at first on their local community and their connections. Because if you're starting from, you know, nothing, if you're starting from the beginning, or even if you're not, even if you're kind of in the middle of your career, your personal network, I think, is incredibly important. And these are the people that you know. These are the people that trust you. They all need photography in some way. They can refer you. These are not just the people like in your very close network. They could be businesses that you know about or you're part of. And you have to, obviously, you don't want to be that kind of annoying person who tries to market in every situation, but you can create a mailing list. You can create like an official email and send it out to people and explain what you do, how you can benefit them.
Yeah.
You can put it into your personal conversations if someone asks what you do. And for me, like when I started out when I was 23. And I was assisting for commercial photographers, but I realized I wanted to start my own business. And at the very beginning, It was those personal connections and doing that that really got me a good portion of income right away, so that I could kind of be stable and then kind of work on other things.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's a really powerful thing. And then just, you know, going out and contacting people over time is really important as well.
That's great.
See, I want to make sure that I put a nail in that, because what you highlighted there was you answered the question that most people have about many things, and that's, how do I get started? You know, how do I get started? And the answer was, start with your personal network, start with your personal connections, and be professional about it. And, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm not pressuring you into doing anything. I'm just letting you know this is what's up. And then, you know, you kind of start from there. That makes a whole lot of sense. You mentioned internet marketing and email, you know, building your email list. Yep. Let's talk a little bit about email, because I tend to preach that as well. The importance of email, not instead of social media, but in addition to, in terms of you owning the connection point with your audience. Can you talk about it from your perspective? Like, how important is email? Is it like on a 1 to 10, a 5, or is it a 10 or a 1?
I would say it's a 10. I mean, it's exactly what you said. I think like the two most important things to start off with, I mean, SEO event, it should be a good long-term important goal, but that takes years to really, you know, kind of build up. I think your local marketing, personal connections, and email marketing are all 10s. So those three things you got to do. And you're totally right. You know, it's when you talk to people about, you say, oh, I'm doing, you know, marketing, things like that. The first thing everyone says is, oh, so you're doing social media.
Right.
And it's like,
these days,
you know, unless you're, but it's unless you're, you know, paying for ads right away, you know, social media is a harder way to reach new people. It's a way to keep up with the people who have already found you.
There's
always the middlemans, as you mentioned. Email marketing is the way that you can just, it has the highest engagement. You know, I've built over maybe 10 years, I've built about a 10,000 person mailing list, and it's, you know, I get about 40% of people reading each of my emails, and
that's,
I don't have to
crazy.
Pay.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah. It's, you know, we'll talk about that in a second, actually. It's interesting because, you know, you're not, you know, like for Facebook, you know, just to push something out to 3,000, 4,000 of my, you know, of the people who follow, you have to spend $30, $20 each time.
Yeah.
And a mailing list, you pop it out, and you know, like, people are reading it. They're not, you know, they're going to give it some time.
Mm-hmm. It's more valuable. It's junk food versus, you know, I look at social media and I really want your opinion on this. So the way that I position social media is, it's kind of casual. It's a cocktail party, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to show up in the cocktail party as the guy, you know, on the corner spinning the sign, right? It's probably the wrong fit to show up there spinning the sign saying, hey, buy my wares, and dancing around with your headphones on, right? Yeah. That's not to say, in my opinion, that's not to say that you can't market on social media. It's just a different way. It's a different way to speak to them versus buy now, buy now, buy now.
For sure.
Email, and I look at social media, I've said this in talks before, I look at social media in a lot of ways, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's kind of like, you know, like digital sharecropping, right? Because you're literally farming someone else's land and, you know, building a community so that they can say at the end of the year on their annual report, we have this many users, and you're drawing people in for them to say that they have this many users on the platform. But the digital sharecropping piece comes in where they could say, you know what? We don't like photographers anymore. We're going to shut down all photography on our website in about a month, and they let you know, or not, and they just turn your stuff off, or you do something they don't like on their land and they just arbitrarily turn you off, thereby shutting off all your revenue. If that happens and you don't have an email list, you're screwed. If that happens and you have an email list of most of your customers and you have that communication mechanism to speak to them, then you could say, okay, well, we're just going to move the party over to this social media platform, and I'll let everyone know party's over there now.
Yeah, definitely.
But with email marketing, when you say that, a lot of people look at it and they say, well, okay, I've heard about this email stuff. I don't want to be a spammer. Do I send email out of Gmail? Do I, you know, what's the best way to send? If I want to be smart about email marketing, what's the best way to start? What would you tell them?
Yeah, So I like I use AWeber as a mailing list service. I know a lot of people use MailChimp, and there's a bunch of others. The AWeber and MailChimp are probably the two I can recommend, and I haven't used too many others, so there's definitely other good ones out there. Those are just, you know, mailing list services that you know, well, I'm sure you're well aware of, but you can put all your contacts in there, and you can set up things like pop-ups on your website, mailing list forms, things like that, as a way to get people to sign up. You know, I like pop-ups on my website. I put a pop-up, you know, after if someone's on my website for longer than 30 seconds, a pop-up will show up. And I have different forms. And so something like the New York Photographer's Travel Guide on my website, I have a page for that, and people can get it for free if they sign up for my mailing list. And it's, you know, giving away free things. I give away computer wallpapers for people. Because there's nothing better for a photographer than to have someone using your photographs as their wallpaper. To
a little
stand
ego
in front
stroke
of
in there, a little ego
exactly,
stroke.
So it's you know, but the thing is that it's hard to get people to sign up for mailing lists. It takes a little bit of time, and so, you know, anyone that's going to sign up for your mailing list is most likely going to be very engaged. It's so, you know, and when someone signs up, I send them a welcome email right after. That
and
has
that's
everything
automated. You don't do that. That's automated, right? Yeah,
completely automated. Like for my pop up, it sends them just a general mailing list, general welcome email of kind of a variety of everything I do. For the New York Photographer's Travel Guide, I send out every 2 days for about a week. I send out 5 or 6 emails. With kind of different tips and photography and stuff like that. And so, you know, the mailing list is really powerful. Like, you know, what I'll do is I'll, you know, send out a lot of just free content. I'll do like, you know, really interesting historical articles on New York or photographers, a lot of photography tip articles, and just something that's very valuable. And that's what gets people opening the emails. You know, when I say I have a 40% open rate, it's because I give away a lot of just content.
It's valuable.
Completely. And then when I, you know, when I decide to sell, you know, I don't feel bad. You know, I feel like if you feel bad about selling, you're probably selling too much. But if you give away enough stuff, you're going to actually feel good about it, and you can create kind of really good products, and then you can actually go and sell them. And that's how I sell my workshops, through my email list and things like that. So, it's incredibly powerful. As you mentioned, it's definitely a 10.
Yeah. I look at that. What you said is spot on, obviously, but it's kind of like a bank, right? So messaging your email list, I look at it like making deposits in a bank. You don't go to a bank and, you know, open an account and then start withdrawing. You know, you go to a bank and you put a bunch of money in over time, and then when you need some money, you go make a withdrawal. And I look at the, you know, the analogy parallel with email marketing is you're messaging your list, you're giving them stuff, you know, whether it's just straight information, advice, tips, whatever. And then every now and then you make a withdrawal, and that withdrawal has to be related to the other stuff that you were giving them. But, you know, you say, hey, now I have this workshop coming up that's along the lines of this other stuff I was telling you. If you want to push the ball forward a little bit, you know, since you're on my list, here's a little discount. Come check it out, blah, blah. Then the next email is more give.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, I use MailChimp. And I actually have it up on the screen right now, ironically. But I love MailChimp. It's a ESP, email service provider, just like AWeber, and there's many others. Like there's Drip, there's Constant Contact. The thing I like about MailChimp, and actually I've left MailChimp a couple times and came back to MailChimp because it's, you know, it just has some of the features that I need. But one of the things that I like about it is the design of it, and also I like to recommend it to new people because it's free, like 100% free, no restrictions, for up to 2,000 subscribers. So if you're just starting out and you're like, yeah, I want to do this email service provider thing, but how much is that going to cost me? You know, another service monthly fee I got to pay? Nope, it's zero. If you're just starting out, or you're like I recommended to my barber a couple days ago, and she's got her a little account set up, and she's only ever going to have a couple hundred customers in there, and she's totally stoked. And now she can do email marketing, and it's not going to cost her one dime other than her time. Yeah,
that's a fantastic point. I've been actually thinking of switching over to MailChimp, but it's just, you know, I've been using AWeber for a long time.
I was using AWeber for a long time too. No offense to AWeber. They're both. I mean, it's Microsoft and Windows almost. You know, there used to be a disparity. Now it's personal preference, right? So, MailChimp is being an ex-Apple person, Apple employee, the UI design is really important to me, and the layout of the templates and all that stuff. It's very clean. Their support, dude, their support is on it. So, awesome. like their support pages, like I'm trying to figure out this issue right now. So I'm on a support page. There's a chat button on every support page. You just click it. And usually it's like, you know, the fake support is, yeah, type in your question and it sends an email to somebody and later they get back to you and you think it's a chat, but it's not. Theirs is real chat 24 hours a day. So I clicked and I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do segment my list and do all this stuff. And to like literally about 30 seconds later, I get a person on there. Hey, Frederick. Okay, this is what you do.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm like, yes, that's what I'm paying for right yep. there. Yeah, 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 but it gets, you know, just like anything else, it gets expensive the bigger your list gets.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like, one of my lists, I have a bunch of lists, but one of my mm-hmm. lists is about, it's just under 30,000 strong, yeah. And I'm paying around close to $200 a month just mm-hmm. for that list. But, like you say, you can recoup that from that. You can make the, you know, if you're doing the for right sure. thing... That's a drop in the bucket, you know, from what you can generate in revenue from a list like that, you know. Plus, oh. yeah, notwithstanding the convenience of being able to talk to my I don't like to call people customers, but, you know, the people that have opted into my list, I can speak to them easily. I can tell them about new episodes. I will likely have told them about this episode when it goes live. So, you know, so many people watching this right now, you may be watching this because you clicked on a link in a MailChimp.
You know, for sure, exactly.
That went out to you. So yeah, that was fun. But, you know, so back to like picking your brain about this stuff. So on the email marketing side, I'm no email marketing guru at all. Mm-hmm. I'm, like I said, I spend time going through the support articles, you know, to learn how to do certain things. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about this stuff is that email segmentation. So if you have a list, say someone watching this signs up for a MailChimp account and they're good and they start getting people on there, the smart thing to do is to set up groups. In MailChimp, they have this concept of groups where you can set up multiple lists. So if I set up, say if I set up a list for TWIP people, then I set up another list for people that have purchased products from TWIP School, and then I have one for my meetup. That's three lists. If you sign up for all three lists, that gets counted as three different email addresses. So you, theoretically, you could push me up to the next pricing tier. However, if I have one list and I put groups within that list, you could be on 15 groups in there and I only get charged for one email address. But my question is, how do you, like, what, how do you personally, do you segment your list? And if so, how?
That's, yeah, that's a great question. I segment my list not like that. That actually sounds fantastic. So I, based on how people sign up for my site, like if they've downloaded the book, yeah. I know they're probably more into maybe practicing photography.
Yeah.
And then I have my general pop-up email, which I know could be a variety of people. It could be photographers. It could be just New York enthusiasts. So I know that to treat that a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And then I have a, you know, mailing list from when I started on a completely different, I use iContact for that. It's just, I keep it going because it's, and that's a little bit more personalized. That's people that, from the very beginning, I would reach out to more. So, you know, and there I have maybe some art buyers and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may have like a very within your email list, you may have a very small email list of local people that are very valuable to you. Mm-hmm. And so you're very careful with that. Whereas, you know, you may want to give out just different types of free content to different lists. So, yeah, that's how I set it up. It's not at quite as the group thing sounds fantastic. Yeah. But yeah. I have kind of a few different segments.
Yeah. See, I'm going to make you move to MailChimp today. That's what the,
it's, I've been thinking about it. It's just, it's more the time and less.
Yeah. Oh dude. Yeah. I'm beautiful. Yeah. Those services are sticky. Once you're comfortable, you don't want to move. Cause you're, you know, especially if you got your open rates like yours and all this stuff, you're like, I'm just going to stick with what's working right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I worry about the level of granularity I should have on the list in terms of segmenting it down. You know, should it be, you know, photographers, the master list of photographers, and then down below that, people who purchase products, and then down below that, these are the products that were purchased, so that later I could say, hey, all the people that purchased this particular product, I want to send them a promotion. But, mm-hmm. you know, in reality, I may have done that one time in 2 years, you know, where I want to send to this little tiny micro segment, but the overhead of having this complex sort of tree of different possibilities is it's hard, you know, rather yeah. than, you know, I what I'm actually thinking about is simplifying the list and having, you know, people that are fans of the website, students, hosts, other, you know.
Yeah. No, that sounds to me, that sounds, I mean, you only have so much time in a day.
Very, very, I mean, you should see the spreadsheet I'm looking at right now, the spreadsheet, because I'm like reorganizing everything. And there's got to be at least 30 different categories on there, you know, for every different eventuality. There's groups, like email addresses from events that I spoke at. Like, maybe I want to, you know, send an email to them. And like these workshops that I led, they're segmented out. Maybe I want to, you know, but in reality, would I ever do that? Because those are relatively small segments anyway. So, yep. I don't know. It's these folks, when you start your email list, these are the questions that pop up.
You're gonna, yeah.
Yeah. But it makes sense to think about this stuff when you're first setting it up, because, you know, with a service like MailChimp, and I'm sure AWeber as well, when you set them up, you can, like, when the data starts coming in and people like sign up for your pop-up, MailChimp will assign an IP address to that contact, their geographic location, which they can kind of discern from the IP address. They'll put the time that they signed up. You could capture on your form, you could capture birth date if you wanted to, all these different fields that you can capture. Then when you want to send a message out, you can send based on those criteria. So you could say, you know, I want to send to only people within this geographic area that signed up between these dates and times, you know, and, you know, have and are this old, because you've captured birth date, right? So yeah. You can drill it down and just send to those people. But that works, like, you can do that on Facebook, right? Which is what I want to segue into real quick. You can do that kind of segmentation on Facebook to even more granularity. But unless you have a gigantic, huge, you know, 200,000 person list, like segmenting down that small for folks like us, I think it's probably overkill.
Send an email to 7 people.
I did all this work and I built this perfect query and there's 3 people that fit. Yeah. So what's the point?
That's amazing.
So the last thing I want to talk about real quick is just online advertising. So we talked about email lists and that sort of thing. The other side of the coin, like we talked about, is social media. Yep. And that things like Twitter ads, Facebook ads, you know, and whatever that's going to be sprung on us in the coming weeks. With Facebook and Twitter, you can do targeting and that sort of thing. But when I look at Facebook personally, even using it as a user, I'm intimidated. You know, and like you mentioned earlier, sending ads or doing ads on Facebook, it just seems like a waste of money. I know it's not, but it's a waste. It's almost like gambling for me, because I'm not a good gambler and I don't understand how to gamble. So it's going to take a lot of money for me to get to the point where I feel confident. I'm going to have to make mistakes before I feel confident gambling. And I'm not willing to spend that money gambling to be a good gambler. I feel the same way with Facebook. You know, I look at that, you know, Facebook advertising and I'm like, I know it works. I know people do it every day. And if you set it up right, it's a money machine. You put $3 in, you get 6 out, you know. But getting to that point, it seems like rocket science, literally.
Sure.
What do you say to that? Like, what's the solution?
So there's a mixture. So I'm with you about that feeling. So when I have, like, I'll advertise when I just have a lot of money coming in. And then when, you know, I'm trying to tighten up a little bit, then I'll just stop the advertising. But you have to first, like, there's a few things about it. It's like, you can get very specific. So you can advertise to just your local community. You can advertise to photographers, you know, wherever. So you can get very specific with all that stuff, but you have to, I mean, think really hard about who you're reaching, what you're offering them, because this is a long-term thing. This is like, you know, you're not going to be able to get them probably to purchase something the first time you contact them.
Yeah.
You want to get them on your mailing list, or you want to get them. So, you know, for something like the New York Photographer's Travel Guide, you know, it's, if you have a very specific goal. So I want to focus on people who are interested in New York, or in New York, are traveling to New York. Mm-hmm. And then I'll throw ads to those people who are interested in photography. And then I'll offer the book for free through that, and then have them sign up for my mailing list. And, you know, I got it to probably maybe somewhere like somewhere around $1 per confirmed subscriber.
Cool.
Which is it's you know, it's a lot of money, but it's you know, if you think about that, of you know, to you know, pay for a private 3-hour workshop, you know, I have to get pretty much one out of 300 people just to sign up for one. And that, I'll tell you, that actually segment of my list for this guide, the open rates are even higher than general. It's, you know, 45% or more.
Wow.
So it's, you know, for, I've tried different types of marketing for different things and for, it hasn't worked a lot of the time, but, you know, it's, if you're really specific, you have a really specific group of people, you know where they are, what they're doing, and you have something that you can give them that will get them to sign up for your list, or, you know, or even like your Facebook page, but I prefer mailing list. And then you have something to offer them down the road that'll make up for it. I think that's really the way to do it. And you have to spend time to it. It's kind of, if you think of it like a funnel, where you're trying to get people, they don't know you at all. They just see some ad. They're very cautious of who you are.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get them over time to like you. So you do need a little bit of money. You do need some time. But like anything, I would say it's possible if you really create this, you know, this plan to lead people to a certain end goal.
Yeah, yeah. It's the carrot. They call it the ethical bribe or the lead magnet or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so for folks that are thinking, they're like, oh, I'm excited, but you guys have thrown a lot of information at me. You know what? I'm not sure how to go through all this. You have a workshop coming up. Right, a conference that you mentioned coming up.
Oh yes, definitely.
So talk about that a little bit, because that sounds like, and that, not to make this sound like a sales pitch or anything, but you know, as we were talking through this, I was literally in my head thinking, you know, if I had to choose between Facebook marketing and email marketing, which one to do first, depending on who you are and what's going on, you know, I would probably, as a default, go to email marketing first, just to set that up as a foundation and then move over.
For sure.
But what I was thinking was, you know, I probably need to take a course on this. I was thinking like maybe a Creative Live or lynda.com or something, or, you know, on some course platform where I can get my brain around how Facebook marketing and all this other marketing for photographers works. But you have a conference, a summit coming up. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, it's called Focus Summit, and it's focussummit.co is the website. And I created it with, a good friend of mine who's just, he's a photographer, marketer, and just, you know, one of those tech ninjas where you're like, I have no idea how he does everything so fast. His name's Scott Wieden-Kibowitz. And our goal was basically to create this 3-day online, so you could watch it anywhere, conference, that covered a variety of the types of different marketing that, photographers will need. Mm-hmm. So we're covering, it's got, including Scott and I, who are both teaching classes. There's 15 teachers. Over 3 days. It's September 26th to 28th. And we're teaching marketing. I'm going to be teaching local marketing. We're going to do internet marketing and SEO, mailing lists. There's going to be blogging, branding, everyone's favorite topic, law, with Rachel Branke, the law tog, who's been amazing.
Yep.
Building clients, social media. And so it's, you know, we found a lot of really, really, really good people. There's just some amazing teachers that we were able to, I was very happy with the people that we were able to find, but it's because, as you said, there's so much out there that you need to know about. It's good to get all the information from a variety of things of what you need to do at first, and then you can kind of narrow down and pick what really works for you. But it's, you know, there's, as photographers, we now, it's unfortunate, but we have to wear about 20 different hats.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that you have to know about all this stuff to be able to, you know, build a strong and diverse business.
And I would say, yeah, it's fortunate and unfortunate that we have to wear so many hats, because it's a good problem to have, I think, because this Week in Photo, the TWIP network and all the things that we're doing were not possible 10, 15 years ago.
Yep.
You know, it just was bandwidth and WordPress and email service providers, all these different tools that are now readily available kind of coalesce to allow me to do this thing, kind of like the iPhone, right? The iPhone wasn't possible 20 years ago because there were no accelerometers and no one knew about these capacitive touch screens and, you know, all this other crazy stuff that kind of came together separately, that then some guy said, you know, we could build a cool phone with that.
Yeah, definitely.
And they built the phone, and now we have, you know, changed the world. Same thing with this stuff. All these different tools are out there for us to use. You just need to know how to coalesce them together to fill your particular goal. And that's what you guys are going to focus on in the summit, right?
Yeah, completely. And it's, you know, when I said unfortunate, you're right. Because I actually like this stuff because you're right. Once you get going and you get good at it, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, as photographers, we now have the ability to be the gallery instead of just having to get a gallery to say yes to us.
Yeah.
You're right. It is a big opportunity if you know everything that you need to know.
But if you don't, it's a wall, right? Because it's just like anything else. It's like, you know, people that do brain surgery are like, yeah, it's easy. You just cut here and you tie this up and be, you know, it's easy here. Go do it. But if you don't know, if you've never done it before and you don't know how to do it, it could be a little intimidating. Right?
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Same with this stuff. But once someone shows you and like, you only have to show you like in my experience, you don't have to be exhaustive about demonstrating things to people or explaining them. Just kind of show them enough to get them started and excited and that give them a lattice work of how this particular thing works, whether it be email or whatever, even photography, right? Give them a lattice work, get them excited about, you know, in the case of photography, f-stop, shutter speed, ISO. This is all works together. This is when you look at your camera, this is what the PASM dial does, blah, blah, boom. Now go shoot. Right now they have a lattice work to build on and they can say, well, you know what? I want to learn a little bit more about this aperture thing. I kind of like that, you know, and then they dive in. Until then, you look at a mirrorless or DSLR and it's intimidating because it's got buttons and dials and all this stuff that you don't know. But once you know them, you can kind of, you know, the veil comes down a little bit. Same with this marketing stuff, right?
Yeah, no, it's very true. And especially with the variety of stuff, I mean, this is all going to be, you know, kind of covering all of the foundational things that you need to know. So it's going to be, you know, helping people kind of build their, you know, fill in the holes in their business. But there may be a few things that you may say, oh, that'll make sense a year from now.
Yeah.
This thing I can use right now. This thing is going to help me right now. This thing, I'd love to do that. Maybe I'm a year or two away from that. But it's important to know all of that because you can really, as you mentioned with the ship sailing from one end to the other, knowing the whole path, it can, at the end, can really help you know exactly how to spend your time at the beginning because your time is the most important thing by far.
It's the one resource you're never going to get back again. You're never going to get it back. speaking of that, so let's bring this interview to a close so you can get back to your day. So your Focus Summit, you said it's September 26th to 28th at my notes here. It's $345, which is a drop in the bucket. It's online so that people can take it wherever they are, correct?
Yeah, it's both going to be live, but also you'll have access forever for all the classes. So if you can't make it, if you can't make it, you can just watch it anytime.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. So $345. But if you are watching this, you have offered up a code for the TWIP audience, $50 off of $345. So $50 off using the offer code TWIP or TWIP. And I'll link over. I'll put all this in the blog post for this episode and in the YouTube description so people can, you know, find it and click over and sign up for it or you know, whatever they want to do and learn more about this stuff. I mean, this is great, man. It's cool that you're using the tools to teach tools.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Exactly. Yeah. It's fun to do. Yeah.
It's cool. So where can people find you and, you know, what are some URLs where people can go to connect with you about all this stuff?
So you can go to my website. It's James Maher, M-A-H-E-R, photography.com. Mm-hmm. Through that, you can see a link to the New York Photographer's Travel Guide. You can see my marketing book, Creative Freelance Marketing, or any my workshops as well. You can see that there. Focus Summit is going to be focussummit.co. Yeah. So you can just find it through that.
Cool.
Yep. And those are basically the two things, I think.
Awesome.
My website or Focus Summit. Yep.
Yeah, and I'll put all the every link you mentioned, I'll put it in the blog post and in the description for this video on YouTube. Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a great time.
All right. Enjoy New York City, man. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Yep. Okay. See ya.